2 months ago that we wanted to do a youth service to kind of bless the church in that way. I mean, we know that we had a youth worship team and they were working hard. And we know that we have a lot of servants in our youth group that want to just serve. And so we figured, why not? And it just so happened that the week we picked was the week that we decided, or I guess Pastor Jim and the rest of the pastors decided that it's Volunteer Appreciation Week. So it worked perfectly. But for about 2 weeks after that, I'm worrying about my sermon, and I didn't know what to write, and I don't know what to talk about. Pastor Jim finally sent me a question, because I didn't want to go far from the Ask the Pastor series, which is up there. So since nobody really asked the question about youth, Pastor Jim kind of made up a question that is a pretty hard one. It's actually a question that me and a bunch of my friends that I went to youth group with kind of struggle with a lot. I remember a conversation that we had, my best friend Isaac and one of my, I guess, childhood friends, TJ. TJ is now, he was involved in youth ministry as well, and Isaac has been, you know, we've been doing ministry together for a long time. And the question came up, and a conversation came up at late night Tim Horton's talk, and we're just, you know, hanging out, that why us was the question. We started thinking about all the friends that we had in youth group at a different church, so don't look at the youth around here, that some of them even went to Bible college. Some of them, you know, were on the worship team and all this stuff. And yet, kind of like the skit showed, you go on their Facebook and they're a totally different person. And I'm going to show you a little bit of credibility on Facebook when I give you stats on that later on. But we just sat there thinking, why us? Like, why am I in a position that I am, blessed with a ministry that people my age, we don't get this stuff. You don't see a 23-year-old youth pastor. When I go to a district conference or district youth stuff, I feel like a youth to them because they're all like 30 and up, and not that that's old or anything, but they and they have kids and the kids are running around and I almost end up being like a babysitter because I love kids, so I'm playing with their kids and I feel like people my age, we don't get this stuff. And I went to my friend TJ, who just graduated from Seneca and now is now working, and he's like, yeah, why me? Why was I the one helping with youth at my church out in Ajax? And my friend Isaac, he's saying, why me? He grew up in Malvern, and if you guys know the reputation of Malvern, it's like, how did I turn out the way we were? Or how did we turn out the way we were? And this question, it didn't only happen that night. I've been thinking about this through all my years, not only in ministry, but as a youth growing up, and that wasn't too long ago. Probably like 10 years I was in high school. It's long for me, but... And as that conversation kind of played itself out, we came to a conclusion, and we kind of looked at our parents. My mom's here, as a surprise. I didn't expect her to be here. Makes me like 10 times more nervous. I'm used to talking and teaching, but not to people older than me, I guess. No offense. But, sorry. Okay. And we look to our parents, and we're saying, each of our parents were involved in the church. And we're like, yeah, that's probably it. You know, because our parents were involved in the church, it must have been it. And then we started thinking through our friends, and we're like, oh, but what about so-and-so? Their parents were in the choir, but they're no longer there. And what about so-and-so? And, you know, their parents were an usher and greeter, and they're no longer there. It says in Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up your child in a way that he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And we were thinking, yeah, our parents did that with us. They brought us to church. It became a place that is comfortable to us. We spent a lot of time at church, as you know Filipinos do. And it kind of, not a second home, I would say, because it was, you know, Sunday and the odd Wednesday, the odd Friday. But it became a place we felt comfortable. And then we got to know people, and we had relationships. And so it was kind of that. And another proverb, it says, Proverbs 6:20-23, and I'm going to paraphrase it so I don't read the whole thing. It calls children or youth, I would say, and I'm talking to you youth, which I normally do on anyway, so you know this already, to obey your father's commands and their mother's teaching, and keep them in your heart. You see, I believe that it's a heavy burden on parents to raise children. Now, I don't know that from experience because I don't have kids. But it's hard when I see youth, and not the ones in this church, but, you know, walk around the mall, even kids 4 years old, and their disrespect to their parents. It's hard to see. And me being a natural leader, and, you know, I do camps, it's almost like, time out, you know. But they're not my kids, I'm just walking around the mall, you know. And I believe that it's a very, very hard burden on parents. And I also believe that raising children right can only happen through Christ and with the Spirit. I'm going to go talk later on about the media and the culture and what this world is like for your youth and kind of the world that you guys don't really see. I don't know how many of you guys are on Facebook, but, you know, within this past year, I guess there's a big boom on Facebook for you know, parents and elderly, if you want to call it that. And before then, it wasn't like that. So this is a new world to you guys, and some, I know sometimes people ask, you know, people tell me a story. My aunt wants me to put Facebook pictures up, and I don't have time, and da-da-da-da-da, and they just don't know what to click and what to say. You know, it's a different world, I guess you can say. And so we're going to talk about that later on. But I think raising children right can only happen with Christ and through the Spirit. Now, I don't blame parents. And I don't partially because when it comes down to the end of it, the youth have a decision to make. And if you look at parents and you look at their youth or their kids, sometimes one youth is going this way and the other youth is going that way. But they're the same parent with the same kids. So you can't really say. So I don't blame the parents, not at least not fully. And to be honest, the trend nowadays, especially with kids in high school, they're more influenced and they have, their friends almost have more of a say than their parents do. And I see a lot of heads nodding, and it's true. And we're going to go into that later on as well. Is this following? Yes. So do we blame parents? I would say no. Do we blame the youth then? Because, oh, well, it's their decision to make. I would argue no. You guys might not relate to this, but I go to McDonald's a lot. Okay, and I eat there. It's kind of a youth pastor's, like, office, second office, where you pick up a youth and you go and you eat and you talk about life. Right? It's what happens. McDonald's, Tim Hortons. So, I was actually writing part of the sermon sitting at McDonald's, because they have Wi-Fi now, which is good. and I started thinking, how, it's kind of like a youth, expecting a youth to grow up proper in this church, or in this culture, is kind of like asking a McDonald's worker to never eat McDonald's. Right? And some of you guys might not get it, but if I put it this way, this culture is a culture that youth are in, and they have to be in, they have to be a part of it every day. There's no sheltering your youth from media. Just like a worker needs to go to work, McDonald's or Starbucks, insert your restaurant, whatever. And the culture gives them something they need to survive. McDonald's, you need food, right? You know, you come in and you didn't eat breakfast, well, likeliness is you're going to grab an Egg McMuffin as opposed to running across the street to Tim Hortons, right? Not only that, but they have it readily accessible, internet, and they offer it at a discount price, right? I love going to McDonald's with John because he has a 50% off card, so my bill is significantly less than normal. But it's true. You work at McDonald's, and you say, don't eat the food, but it's 50% cheaper. Not only is it cheap enough, you got the $3.99 menu or whatever, $1.39, and it's 50% off that. And now you think about the youth in this culture. They have to be at school. They have to be on the internet. As much as you say, no, you don't. If you want to grow up in high school and not be, you know, I won't put a word to that. You need to be on the internet. It's almost like, especially in North America, it's almost like the norm. you kind of have to know about TV shows. You have to know these things. The culture is something you live in and you're a part of. And then not only that, but at least, I don't know about, I can't speak for all youth, but some youth don't pay for that stuff. You know, it comes readily available. It's there. You wake up, you go to school, your friends are already talking about da 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 da. It's there. It's not like you have to go and look for it. It's readily available and discounted price. People want to be a part of something, whether it's a group, friends, whatever. So then do we blame the youth? I say no. So what do we do then? Do we blame the culture? Do we blame media? I would argue not, and as I said, these are inevitable things that you kind of have to live through. You walk down, you drive down Kingston Road, and I hate this billboard. I think it is Kiss 90-something, Virgin 99.9. And you drive down and you see the billboard. If you ever drive downtown, down Kingston Road, it's like, I don't know if I can repeat it on platform. That's how bad it is. It's very seductive and it's like talking about musical artists that 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds listen to and that know the words to their songs. It's like, it's inevitable. It's there. You turn on TV, you flick on the radio, unless you want to sit and live like Harry Potter underneath a stairwell for the rest of your life, you can't escape media. And on the other part, didn't Jesus already tell us that media is going to be, or the culture is on the down? Isn't our sin nature going down, bringing us down? So then do we blame culture and media? No, I don't think so. If you click the next one, I believe that these situations, youth drifting away or not drifting away, cannot be pinned on one person or thing, but a team. Much like the body of Christ, the church needs all its parts to function, our youth needs all their resources working together to help them conquer the world that we live in. They need to use all their resources to work together to conquer the world that we live in. What are those resources? Parents, youth group, church. Libraries we don't go to anymore. The internet even. Oh my goodness. You know? We need to somehow use these things. Facebook. I use Facebook as a great tool for youth ministry. Can it be used other ways? Of course. But they need to be working together as a team to help the youth conquer the world that we live in. Now, as a youth leader, and I think back through the years, there are some youth that aren't here anymore. Have I failed? Maybe. And I sure do feel it. Some Monday mornings after Sunday, you know, spending a wonderful day with youth, you're just bummed. You gave all your energy out into ministry and you just wake up in the morning and you don't even want to get out of bed. I feel it. And sometimes I feel I've failed. But is it all my fault? I would say no. Now, some parents and some of you are here and your youth aren't here. Have you failed? Maybe. Is it all your fault? Definitely not. Youth. You think through some of the decisions you've made and some of the things that you have to live with now because of those things. Have you failed? Maybe. Is it all your fault? No. I think you get where I'm going here. It has to be a full team effort. And I believe the best strategy to fight against this work is to work as a team, together in line with the Spirit. And like I said, as a parent, it's impossible to raise a child without Christ and the Spirit. In the same way, youth, it's impossible to make the right decisions without Christ and the Spirit. And it's impossible, well, the church isn't the church without Christ and the Spirit, so I can't even go there. So as I pondered through this, and I was thinking about it through the years, I came up with 3 points, the first being a real faith. Oh, it's a team effort. Next slide, please. Sorry, John. First being, it's a real faith. youth, and you know I talk about this all the time, it's all about your faith in Christ and your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about not being on Facebook, not listening to certain music, but it's all about your faith in Christ. Now, I just want to scratch this really quick to get it off the thing, and that's the first point here. We need to eliminate the lie that is that we are born into Christianity. It boggles my mind, not only, you know, definitely not only this church, but when I go to district events and I ask them about, you know, the Christian walk, they say, why are you a Christian? Well, I've been a Christian since I was born. And, you know, my parents brought me to church. The youth group or the children's church, they prayed the prayer with me. But it's almost like Christianity was inherited through birth, which we all know is wrong, right? And at least in my youth, when they get to me, when I get the opportunity to speak to this, I say it right away. It's not a decision your parents make, right? You know how to become a Christian. Believe in Jesus Christ, that he died and rose again. Accept him in your heart. We all know it. How can you do that when you're 0 years old, right? It's impossible to be born into Christianity. So I just want to eliminate that altogether. And let's make sure as a church, and don't go walking around, when were you a believer? When did you become a believer? And walk around to the youth and start accusing them. Don't do that. But let's create a culture where there's a purpose to be a church. There's a youth group presenting worship to God, leading the congregation in worship. There's a youth group helping welcome people and greet people and doing AV, you know? So let's eliminate that altogether. But I think in this real faith, the youth need to take ownership of their faith. And this is why I want to eliminate that. John McDonald, which is a guy that I subscribe to his podcast and I listen to him on the radio, he said this. If there is no conversion story, there probably is no conversion. And that got me thinking in my life when I first heard this way back. And I'm like, there's no conversion story, then there's probably no conversion. What is my conversion story? Now, I can think back when I was a kid. I don't remember how young I was, but my parents, and there was this booklet that we went through, and that's when I accepted Jesus Christ. Now, through the years, moving to Canada, living in this new culture, I kind of fell away from that, but then in grade 10, I went to youth group. We went to a snow camp, which is a youth retreat, and that's when I said, I'm all in. I'm all in. Jesus, you have everything. The theme of that week was death to sin, right? And it was like, I'm done. I'm in. God, you have everything, whatever you want me to do. And that's, you know, the decision was made. I don't like following my brother, but my brother was in Bible school, and then after graduation in high school, I went to Bible school for a year. Not because my brother went, but because I was all in. So there's my conversion story in a really short time, because I don't have a lot of time. But I think this is so true. Now, I don't walk around asking the kids, what is your conversion story? Now, maybe if we were sitting down at a McDonald's and having a chat, maybe I will. And I can see the kids, like, they're starting to think through. Someone's going to ask me today, so I better start thinking what happened in my life. You know what I mean? Which is cool. It's good to remember that stuff. But even this won't solve everything. But it's definitely a great start. So when we ask this question, do you have a real faith? We typically have two answers, sorry. And the first answer is, yes, they do. And the conclusion usually is, they'll stay in the church, or they may leave, but if they do leave, they're going to go and help at another church. Right? Make sense? And the other question, the other answer, obviously, is the negative, right? No, they won't. And the conclusion is, if they don't have a real faith, they'll drift away. Understood? Yeah, easy, right? I spent a whole week deciding that. The end. Let's go. No. And then I started thinking, that can't be it. So this third option kind of, it's not like, you know, it came to my mind as an epiphany from God or whatever, but it kind of did. And it was the yes, but. The yes, but. Yes, they have a real faith, but it's so hard in school. Yes, they have a real faith, but it's so hard at home. And these kids, like it says there, they may drift away. but are still within God's reach. I struggled to find a word after God's blah. Because technically everyone's within God's reach, right? But I hope that you know what I mean by that. And this is the most difficult one to deal with. The yes, but. How do we know? How do we know that if they're a yes or a yes, but? A couple simple questions I would think as a youth to think through is, are you the same at church as you are at school, as you are at home? The adult world for it is integrity, right? Are you transparent? Are you the same on the internet as you are here? I'll give you a good hint, and I'm speaking to the youth right now. If you're scared to add certain people on your Facebook profile, that's a pretty good indication that you're scared of something and you might not be the same. Now, I'm not saying that you're like horrible, 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 but, you know, it's a good indication, right? I have my mom on my Facebook profile, so it's okay. She's my friend. So, yes, but. And these yes, buts, you can't really tell. It's hard to tell. Especially from the outside looking in. It's hard enough from the inside, from a youth person sitting here thinking, and I need you parents to understand this. It's hard enough for a person thinking about their faith and saying, is this real in my life? So how much harder is it for you who don't experience the stuff that they experience, who haven't, you know, listened to the lessons they've listened to or the music they've listened to or anything like that? How are you from the outside looking in supposed to know whether they're a yes but, a yes or a no? This is a big struggle in youth, across the board, not just with Christianity either. Unfortunately, nowadays, it's a struggle with gender. It's a struggle with what school they go to. It's a struggle with what career they want to go in. Am I in? Am I out? Yeah, but maybe I'll, you know, want to do this. Maybe I want to do that. So, as parents, you need to understand, yes, but is an option, and your kids are struggling through it. And like I said previously in my introduction, it's a team effort. And how do we help that? So what do we do? Next one. It was very tempting for me to say and put the youth in the spot, ask them about the conversion story. Very tempting. But I don't want to put my youth on that spot because it's kind of like, yes, Stephen. He's smiling at me like. I would say help them to realize it. How? I don't know. But make it a point. When you talk to them, make it a point. Thing number two, and this is a big one in my life, and like I said, me and my friends were talking, make church a priority. Is it their church or is it their parents' church? Do they belong in the church? Which, in this church, our youth feel very a part of the church. So I'm not speaking like we're a bad church. No. We've been amazing at that. But as a youth, do you feel like it's your church or is it not? What are the other priorities in your life? Is it work? Is it school? Is it this? Is it that? Kind of like you as a parent or as an adult have your other priorities to not get up in the morning and go to church on Sunday. Youth have the same. Except it's almost like, you know the speakers that they put in and it's really, really loud in their ear? It's like that. And you know why youth walk around with that a lot? It's because then it helps their brain just think of one thing. And it's like calms them down. And, you know, they're walking around the street like this. Right? Because there's so much information coming at them. So what are the other priorities in your life? And how do you make it a priority? How would you help your youth make it a priority? I would say this one very key thing is getting involved in the church. Having some buy-in makes it a very good priority. Now our youth that are here on this platform and that have helped, you've seen them. Why? Because they're here and they're helping. But my question to you as parents, are you involved in the church? We've spent this whole, we had a ministry fair last week, or last month, I don't know how long it was. Are you involved in the church? Because youth like to follow examples. And the last question I would say, not only are you involved, but do you allow them to be involved? Now, it's enough of a struggle to get a youth to want to be at church, right? Agreed? It's even worse, and I think this is a worst-case scenario, and I'm not thinking of anyone in particular right now, when a youth wants to be here, but they can't. As a 16-year-old, you can't drive. You can't even take the bus by yourself sometimes. Well, I don't know. Some parents let them. But how do you get them here? Do you allow them to be involved? And one example, as I was talking with Pastor Jim through the sermon, one example that came to my mind was homework. School is such an important thing in life, right? And it's almost just as hard to get kids to stay in school and study hard as it is to go to church. But when Friday night comes around, and I'm not saying this to get more people in my youth group, but when Friday night comes around and they've got homework, are you the kind of parent that would say, finish your homework or else you can't go to youth group? Which is great, right? We can nod our head, yeah, it's the right thing to do, right? Obviously, but what does that say about the priorities in life? And believe me, when they get here, and Jermaine is really good at this. If Jermaine is here, I'm trying to survey. Over there. Jermaine's really good at this. If they come here, even from after school, and they've got their books in their bag, and they say, I've got homework, they're not doing anything. They're sitting in that youth room doing math. Charlene. Doing math. Asking us for help. It's almost like homework help. But believe me, we do everything we can to help. So don't make homework an excuse. Bring their homework with us. Not that I still remember grade 10 math, but we have Google, right? It's a great tool, by the way. But bring it. What priorities are you almost not forcing on them, but as a parent, you do have authority over your children. But is it, no, finish your homework or else you can't go to church? That'd be great if a kid loves to be at church. But now imagine the kid that doesn't really want to go to church and is kind of wanting to go, kind of not. You're giving him an out. That's the text message that I get. Sorry, can't come. Got homework. And in my head, I'm like, oh, bring it. You know, this is one struggle as a worship team way back when. Long time ago. 04, I think. We would almost like bring our homework, and then we do homework, and when Pastor Jim arrives, we do worship team practice. You know what I mean? Like, it can be done. And I will vouch as a youth pastor, unless your youth say, no, we don't have homework, but they actually do, we will help them get it done. But what are their priorities? Here's a quote that I got from Brett Allman, which is an amazing, and you have to read his book, Media, Faith, and Culture. He says, your worldview shapes your values, and your values shape your actions. I'm going to let that sink in. Your worldview shapes your values, and your values shape your actions. And he went on to say, as parents, we chase actions. And he said this. Next slide, please. Stop chasing actions. Stop chasing the do's and don'ts. Why? Because it's just rules. And we all know youth don't like rules, right? Our youth room is a mess. And that's not because I try not to make it a mess. It's they don't like the rules. It's hard enough to get them to take off their shoes so that the carpet won't get all whatever. But they've got that pretty good now, right? So, yeah. Don't chase the actions. Shape the worldview. And youth are like, yes, go James, get them off my back. No, but is actions harder, youth, or is it harder to change your worldview? Is it harder to change the way you think about things? Or is it harder to stop doing things for a week, for a couple days, right? It's still a hard thing to do, but stop chasing actions as parents and as a youth leader. This is something, especially when I heard Brett Allman when he spoke that 2-3 months ago, and we saw him 2 days in a row, it sunk in. It was like, you know, it's not about the actions, but what is their worldview? And to do this, in Romans 12:2, we all know the verse, do not be conformed by the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of mind. Right? Do not be conformed by the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's chase that worldview. Let's change it. Let's get these kids loving Jesus, not just saying they love Jesus. And I'm not saying none of you, again, I'm not thinking of any particular youth at this time. So these are a few things that I've, you know, again, these aren't like, if you do this, they're going to be amazing. But it's a good start. It's a good guideline to use. So my next point is the real world. How do we deal with the real world? I believe, and I firmly believe, and I've believed this for maybe 3 or 4 years now, that this is the hardest generation to grow up as a youth. Everything is at your will. You sit in front of a computer, you have information, you have anything you want, almost, not money. Right? And you go to school, especially if you're a Christian and your friends aren't, bam, bam, bam. This song, that song, this music, that music, this movie. Did you see that Hangover 2? It was amazing. Well, I don't want to watch that movie. This is the hardest generation to grow up as a youth. In Luke 6, we know about the parable, right? Everyone's like, kind of. The house that was built with a firm foundation. It didn't say if the storm came. It says when the storm comes, when the storm came. With youth, it's not even an if. It's a when they're bombarded with media, when they're bombarded with this real world that we spent so much as a baby. I had my godson yesterday. He was, you know, baptized, and then it was his first birthday, and I'm holding him, and I'm like, you're protecting them, right? But it's so hard to do that when they get to 16, 17, 18. When they can make their own decisions, kind of, maybe, sometimes. It's not when if the storm will come, it's when the storm will come. And those who withstand the storm have a strong foundation. Like I said, the real faith that we've been talking about. And the biggest problem with this world and this culture that I would say, and kind of shed some light to some. Again, Brett Allman was talking about moral decline, and he said he kind of dubbed it as the pornification of culture. It's like everything is accessible to everyone at any time. The same things that I would listen to as a 23-year-old, Christian or non-Christian, is accessible to a 4-year-old. The same songs like Popping Bottles with Ice, and the rest of it will involve drinking. Or the same movies, like, even though they have ratings nowadays, like even Transformers 2, and this was Brett Allman's main thing, right? It was like, these movies nowadays, it's crazy. But as a 6-year-old, 7-year-old, as a 12-year-old going to a movie theater, they don't check your ID. It's accessible to everybody. You can go on the internet, go on YouTube, type any song you want, it'll come up, no matter how old. Marvin Gaye, if you want to go down there. Black Eyed Peas, if you want to go up here. It's there. You can listen to it. And little Sarah Buck's not here. Little Sarah Buck is amazing on a computer. She can do almost anything. Bam, 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 bam. She's 9? Almost 10? Right? Kids know about computers. How much more youth? Everything is open to everyone, from grade 1 to grade 12 to adult. And it's almost like, how do we monitor that? How do we help them do that? Another problem I would say about this media is, not everything is bad, and not everything is good. There's a lot of great involved in this media. When you think of an artist like Switchfoot, do people know what Switchfoot is? I guess I'm kind of... They're a Christian band, but they don't sing Christian songs. Not explicitly. They hide the Jesus message through songs like Dare You to Move. And it's not saying Jesus. Through songs like This Is Your Life, Are You Who You Want to Be? Which I think they even talk about salvation in the bridge of that song. You know, there's things like that where if a kid is left saying, oh, I can't listen to non-Christian music, but then they're switchfoot, I'm confused. Not everything is bad and not everything is good. TV's way back when, and I heard this, I was watching an interview of, I don't even remember who, because I didn't live in this time, but TVs back then were considered, as they said, and I'm quoting this guy that I don't even know, I don't know if you guys grew up hearing this, was the devil's box, right? You turned it on, and there's a lot of bad stuff on TV. How much more now, right? 600 plus channels? If you've got HD, and most houses in Toronto do. The movie theater was considered a place where you shouldn't go because movies were bad. Around the time, and this was around the time when Sound of Music came out. Now, how does Sound of Music bad? Right? And the adults that are like, yeah, I remember that. I don't. I watched it with my parents on VHS. Right? But when was Sound of Music bad? Right? Now you look at the movies nowadays, and it's almost like you can say that everything is bad. Almost. Until you hear movies of Soul Surfer. And if you haven't seen that, amazing movie. Christian Girl, Shark Attack, but still won some surfing championships and stuff. Fully gives credit to God. And the movie shows her youth pastor as a person that helped her. Everything. Amazing movie. So there's lots of gray. So I'm going to challenge you with some of these statistics that I got. And I've got this app on my iPad where it kind of searches all the likes on Facebook. If you don't know what Facebook is like, I'm sorry. But I'm going to use this as an example. Actually, to give some credibility to this, if Facebook was a nation, if Facebook was a country, guess what number it ranks population-wise? Anybody want to take a guess? Third. It is the third biggest. 500 million users. Second to India, China, 1.3 billion, India, 1.2 billion, then Facebook, 500 million, and then United States, 400 something million. It's got more users than United States. So if you want to pull a country and say that's credible, I'm going to pull YouTube, Facebook, and somewhat give it credibility, right? Out of Canadians, and I only went Canadians, aged 13 to 25 on Facebook, there is around 6 million. 110,000 liked the Bible. When you do your profile, there's a section that says interests and likes. You can type in Bible, enter. Right? 110,000 people. 90,000 people liked God. You can put God, enter. And such a small number, 25,000 liked Jesus. I like all three, so. It's almost like I have to, right? Now that I've looked at these statistics, it's like I got to add one more to the number. No, but, and then I went through the app and I started looking at how many Canadians aged 13 to 25 like music? 854,000. Not even close to the number that like the Bible. Well, okay, music is general. You can say, yeah, argue with that. Justin Bieber, 500,000. Justin Bieber, 14-year-old kid. Christian, by the way, which is amazing. Rihanna, 576,000 likes. Michael Jordan, iconic basketball player, 180,000. LeBron James, 140,000. The iPod, almost 500,000 likes. Okay, so you kind of get what the media and what this worldview is like with youth. And this is, and I polled children's age 13 to 25. So I'm not talking about anything over 25. I'm not talking about anything younger than 13. And like I said, third largest nation, right? This is the media, and this is the things that their friends say they have to like. Not just their friends. This is the things that Much Music, MTV, movies, ads, this is what you need to know about to become popular. It's almost like if you don't know LeBron James, you're like, how do you not know LeBron James? Miami Heat? No. So how do we deal with this? Let's look to the next slide. Think critically. Right? The only way. You analyze it from a biblical worldview. And what can we as parents in the church do? and this is a big one, guide and teach, do not shelter. Sheltering is great up to a certain age. 9, 10, 11, don't quote me on that. I don't have any experience with children, apart from camp, so, you know, they're not even mine. Technically, they're mine for 8 hours or whatever, but they're not mine. So don't quote me on that. But up to a certain age, and you be the judge as a parent, right? Sheltering works. Know this, know that. You can't listen to that music. Know that that's not a good movie to watch. Let's go watch Bolt instead. Let's go, you know. You can do that. Once they get to 12, 13, 14, unfortunately, even though that still seems young, kids are growing up fast these days, it's really hard to shelter them. They can get on the TTC and go to Scarborough Town Center on a Tuesday, pay $5 for a movie. They won't ID them. You can buy them at the kiosk where they don't even, you know. And they can walk into any movie they want. Rated R, AA, adult accompaniment, whatever. It's hard. And like I said earlier in my introduction, media is bam, bam, bam in these kids. You get on the bus, ads. You get on the subway, ads. You're standing at a bus stop, bus rolls by. Guess what? Ads. It's there. You drive down Kingston Road, like I said, the billboards I was talking about, it's there. Youth cannot be sheltered from media. And I heard this quote, again, I don't remember from who. You can monitor what's in your house, but you cannot monitor what's in their friends' houses. In terms of, let's say, video games. You can say, oh, you cannot play violent video games. But if you go to a friend's house and their parents have a different value, well, guess what video games they're playing? Not that they're doing it out of rebellion, it's just what's in midnight lineups. I would even go as far as saying attempting to shelter our children from mainstream media may just entice them even more. Much like a wet paint sign entices a curious person. We've all been there. Wet paint? Is it really wet? Oh, it is. You know? We've been there, right? In the same way, is it really bad? Except it's not, oh, it is. It's like, and then before you know it, it's there. So I would go as far as saying that attempting to shelter them, and I'm not saying don't. Again, like I said, I'm not a parent. I don't have the experience of doing so. But use your judgment. Up to a certain age, you can shelter them. But instead, let us guide and teach them. The Proverbs I said earlier, Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up your child in a way that he should go. So train them. Proverbs 6:20 says, obey your father's commands. So that means the father had commands and your mother's teaching. That means the mother taught. Right? Makes sense. I would include there youth pastor teaching. I would include there senior pastor, church staff, elders, adults in the church helping, teaching. As the church, being the church. So you cannot shelter youth from media. What we can do, though, is teach them to be critical with what they're listening to, what they're hearing, what they're watching. Instead of saying no, ask them why. If they want to bring home, I remember this as a kid, and sorry, Mom, I didn't expect you to be here. But I went to the corner store. I finally got enough money from my allowance to go and buy a card game. And I don't know if my mom remembers this, but I remember this very well. I went to go, and do you guys know Magic cards? I went to go buy a deck of Magic cards. It's a game that, it's like a strategy game that you would play. And when I came home and had these cards, I'm like, yes, you know, now I can go to school and play with the grade six kids, you know, and I'm going to be cool. And it was cool because it was, you know, strategy. And then I guess I left them on the kitchen table or something, and when my mom saw it, she saw, like, pictures of demons, and I guess I didn't pick the right pack, right? I should have picked the fairy pack. But they saw the pictures of, like, you know, the demons and the stuff, and my mom threw it out, and I was devastated. I'm like, I just spent my money. Right? And I don't know if it was my mom or my dad, but they gave me money even more than what I spent on the deck, so it was like, okay, I don't care about the money. But instead of just chucking them, and I'm not saying my mom was a bad parent because obviously I'm here. I love you, Mom. Instead of chucking them, ask them, put it on the kitchen table, why is this in my house? Why can I let this in my house? right? They bring home a Justin Bieber CD. Why am I allowing you to put this in my four walls? You could do that. It's your walls. Sorry, youth. They can. Why? And then the youth, as a youth, they'll start thinking, why can I listen to Justin Bieber? Why do I want to listen to Justin Bieber? Why Justin Bieber? Because he's a cute little 14-year-old? No. How about maybe because he's a Christian and he has a song called Pray? The chorus goes, I close my eyes and pray. Right? But it's secular music, right? You can't listen to secular music. But instead of saying no, teach them to think critically. Start training them as a kid. Why not? Ask why instead of no, no, no. Let them, if they put down a Bruno Mars album, I don't know, maybe I'm a little bit above you guys. Right? They put down a Bruno Mars album. Why Bruno Mars? Let me know. Okay? So, I think it would help. And then on top of that, you have to do your research, right? Is Justin Bieber really a Christian? Does he really talk about prayer in his CD? Like, because don't let them, kind of sweet talk their way into bringing stuff in your home. But let them know to think critically. This is something that I grew up doing. Just because of, I guess, my nature, how my parents brought me up, I thought critically about everything and anything. I don't eat ketchup. Why? Maybe I thought too much about it. I don't know. Paul says this, feed them solid food. He talked about the church in Corinth, and he says, I gave you milk because you can't handle solid food. Let's train them to be able to handle solid food. Let's train them to be able to deal with media, music, movies. I don't know if I put the verse up there. The second thing I would say is be an example. One thing that hurts me the most is when a youth comes up to me and I say, hey, you can't say that. And then they say, well, my parents can say it. And that's just a simple example of swearing, let's say. Be the example. Like in that skit, and Jermaine was like, Jesus is just too freaking perfect. And he kind of like fed up. I can't do that. Show them how. Show them when you fail. Especially at an age of 16, they can process things. This was a hard one for me to learn as a youth pastor. Youth pastors are supposed to be perfect. Supposed to be a good example, right? When I messed up, I don't tell the whole youth group, obviously. But the ones that are, that are coming up to be leaders, I would let them know. Oh, this is frustrating for me. This happened to me. I can't deal with it. I don't understand how you guys can deal with it going in high school. Be the example. Swearing, lying, dealing with friends, coworkers, problems, trials, whatever you're dealing with. Even video games. I'm not going to go into that because I don't have time, but did you know that the average age of a video game player is 32 years old? 32. And we say it's a youth thing, right? No, not. Just like I said earlier, are you involved in the church? Is church a priority with you? Be that example. And I would say, do all you can to support them, and this is, I'm going to zoom right by this. Click. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12, I'm going to paraphrase it again. It says, two are better than one. If they fall, one will lift up his fellow. Three is not quickly broken. We know the verse. But let's be the second string. Let's be the third that will not be quickly broken. Let's be the example. Let's support them. Do everything we can to support them. Not only you, but their friends too, which brings me to my last point, which is relationships. Cool, right? I guess it only works with youth groups. Except the youth didn't really think that was cool. Relationships, like real relationships. And I put peer pressure in brackets because we tend to think peer pressure is negative. Right? Like this verse, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Peer pressure. Do you know their friends? My parents were great at this. Our house was always open. I got to the point where in grade 6, grade 7, and grade 8, at least two guys, maybe one, you know, they would come to my house after school every day. And we kind of did what our parents did. Like, when we got this new karaoke machine, we started singing karaoke. Yeah, I know. Not cool, right? But we were at home. My parents know my friends. Right? And that actually empowers them. When I say I'm out with Isaac and TJ, they know we're not out smoking drugs because they know my friends. Therefore, the leash is a little bit looser. No? Or maybe it's just because my parents trust me. Right? We think peer pressure is bad, but look around. Look at the worship team. Look at the people outside. Look at the people at the AV board. Peer pressure seems to work really well here, in a good way. And the last thing I would say, youth wants a lot of friends. And it says in Proverbs 18:24, many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And I teach this to my kids, so you kind of don't really have to worry about it. But being popular isn't everything. Having a few really, really close friends is a lot more beneficial than having 200, 1,000 Facebook friends. So I'm going to go really quick because I'm way over time. What do? Get to know their friends. Now, if you don't have the resources to do that at your house, I don't know. But my parents, I can only speak from what I've seen and what's helped me and what I can see help the youth, right? And my house was always open. When I was even younger, at grade 3, 4, and 5, some friends would come over and eat pancakes with us because we made the great pancakes, right? Because our pancakes were not just add water. My mom taught me how to do like the water and the egg and the sugar and the something, and it was sweet. You didn't need syrup. But the door was open, and friends came, and my parents got to know. I don't know if this was intentional. I don't know. I didn't interview my parents before the sermon. Maybe I should have, right? But get to know their friends. Go to things like graduations, performances. Come to a youth night. Friday nights are getting a little bit crammed, so I don't know if I'm going to. And I don't know if you'd want to go to a missions trip. But, you know, get to know friends. Who are they hanging out with? And let's dare not go through their Facebook friend list. Sorry, guys. Youth group. I do it all the time. Sorry, youth group. What else can we do? Encourage them to track the time they spend with each other and spend it with healthy relationships. And I put including online and cell phone times because this is something that's changed with culture, right? Back then, to hang out with your friend, can we go play outside? Yes, go play tag, go whatever. Now, if they have a cell phone with a data plan, they're on Facebook until wee hours of the day. You don't know. Some do, some don't. And what are they doing? Talking to their friends. That's why I think this generation, friends have a lot more influence than parents do. Because 24/7 almost, they're talking with their friends. And it's on BBM, it's on Facebook, it's on Twitter, it's on this, it's on that. And some of this stuff, you're like, what is that, James? They know. Maybe if you want to get to know, educate yourself, great. But encourage them to track and spend their time with healthy relationships. How much time do they spend with friends compared to others? I.e. reading their Bible, which I do a lot. I ask them, you know, do you read your Bible? How much time do they spend praying? How much time do they spend at church? How much time do they spend with their healthy relationships, church friends? Sometimes not from this church, but friends from different churches that they've met through the years. Encourage them to do that. And the last thing I would do is do all you can to encourage church relationships. Like I said, remember in the past, don't be the excuse, right? Oh, sorry, I have homework. And I can say this up here on the pulpit because I know when they get here, we've got as a team, and you saw them doing the skit, and Mark's up there doing video, we systematically go through, not like, oh, you have to be friends with you, and you have to be, but we say, how can this person be more connected? What kind of relationships can they have that will help them grow in Christ? Know that we're thinking through that stuff. And so if you bring them here, it's almost like, it's not like, oh, they're just playing basketball. It's never just basketball, at least not on my watch. It's never just playing board games or having a barbecue at, let's say, Elaine's house goes down the street. It's never that. Never just going out for food or for this or for that. At least not on my watch. So encourage, do all you can to encourage church real friends. So I'm going to close with kind of the same introduction, and there's nothing there. I didn't put a closing slide, sorry. But let's work as a team. Think back in your youth, amplify it by kajillion, and that's the kind of media influence that they have to live with. And they have to suffer through, even I would say. And let's work on it as a team. If you don't know how, come talk to me. Come talk to your leaders. There are things that are confidential between us and the kids that, you know, they say, well, don't tell anyone. Don't worry if it's anything harmful, obviously, to their health. We would, you know, that's something. And I've told the kids that. If you tell me that, you know, you're going to kill yourself, obviously I'm going to have to tell people, right? But there's some stuff that are confidential. So you don't come up to me like, what has my kid been saying about me? We can't do that. That comes with real relationships with the kids. We have to keep it confidential. Just like when you talk to Pastor Jim, you don't expect him to tell the whole church about the stuff you talk about. Or tell your children, right? But let's work as a team. Together, helping the youth try to conquer this world that they have to live in. Real faith, conquering a real world with real relationships.